Bart Haxton. He is the director of the Jackson County Health Department and our guest this morning. Bart, how are you, pal?
I'm well. How are you, Tom?
Good, good. And the best news all week, you know, is I was talking to some folks at work that my significant other was on the phone, finding out when she'll be getting her vaccine as she works in healthcare. And I guess this is probably the best news you and I have heard in some 9 months. What's your role in vaccine dissemination in Southern Illinois, Bart?
Well, starting next week, we will be receiving weekly vaccine shipments. And so we will then be either redistributing those to healthcare providers, or we'll be utilizing those ourselves to start vaccinating healthcare workers.
And I think one of the reasons that's significant is, you know, I literally think of Jackson County as a healthcare hub.
Yeah, we estimate there's about 4,500 healthcare workers in Jackson County, and so those are part of this first priority group, as they call it, to receive the vaccine. And so that's going to take us probably much of the month of January to accomplish.
You know, I find that interesting in relationship to healthcare workers because people, I think I spoke to SIH on this subject more than once, it's not uncommon for them to have some 150 people out because they are been exposed or they're sick, and that can take a big bite out of the ability to deliver services.
Yeah, you know, you hear people talk about bed availability at hospitals, but really it's many times it's the staffing constraints. With this virus, yeah, there have been many staff members across all sorts of healthcare providers that have been out either sick or on quarantine as a close contact, and so that does impact the delivery of services.
What do you think people are going to do when it comes to accepting taking the vaccine? You know, it seems that there's one or the other, no or yes, and they're pretty blatant on both sides.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's just like anything else in society. You've got people that are going to do it no matter what and people who aren't going to do it no matter what. It's that big swath in the middle of people that just need the right information provided to them. They need to hear from friends and family and other people that they respect that they've got vaccinated and that they didn't have any side effects. And I think, you know, what we've seen in the last week has been, you know, a building of public confidence in the vaccine overall. Certainly the SIH received about 1,000 doses this week to start to vaccinate people across their three hospitals, and that uptake has been very good, and I think we're seeing a lot of people excited about the vaccine at this point.
When you look at Jackson County's numbers just from yesterday, you had the responsibility of announcing another death, male in his 80s. When you look at the total number, you've got 393 active cases. You have 21 new positive cases announced as of yesterday. To date, 3,335 cases in the county, 51 related deaths. We've seen these numbers go up and down, especially that active number. I watched that pretty closely. You've had a little luck keeping the numbers down, especially when you're comparing to counties around you. When you look yesterday at Williamson County, 99 new positive cases. Franklin County, 85 new positive cases, two deaths in Williams, one in Franklin, one in Jackson. These numbers continue to kind of stack up cumulatively. And, you know, you've had some success in Jackson County, and the Jackson County Health Department earlier voted this week. Can you explain to me what the Jackson County Health Department approved this week and how what is your role in fulfilling those obligations?
Sure. So the Jackson County Board voted on an amendment this week to the county's food ordinance, which would allow us to better utilize that ordinance as a tool to get restaurants and bars to comply with the executive orders from the governor. And that includes indoor dining and drinking.
So imminent health hazard is how this is being done, is that correct?
Yes. So, and that's a clause that's included in the FDA food code, which most county food ordinances are based on. And so we're basically expanding on that that ability to look at imminent health hazards within food establishments and to consider that during the pandemic or any kind of public health emergency that orders from the governor or the state health department you know, that they could be included as imminent health hazards, and we can enforce those as such.
Yeah, as ordered by the governor of Illinois Department of Public Health and protecting public health during a declared emergency or disaster may be considered a qualifying circumstance or event. But I look up from the documents that were provided on this issue, and number 17, the item, health authority shall mean that person or persons who have been designated by the Board of Health to administer the affairs of the Jackson County Health Department. So it seems to put that puts you in the primary enforcement role the way I read these documents.
Sure, and that's a role that we have all the time. That's you know, this is not a new ordinance. It was simply amending an existing ordinance. And so we have several such ordinances in Jackson County, which authorize the health department to address things like food safety, private sewage systems, water wells, solid waste management, things along those lines.
If you were going to clear up one misconception about that vote on Tuesday, what would it be, Bart?
Just that, you know, the health department is looking to close businesses down. That may be an end effect. We don't want to reach that point. We're putting together a progressive enforcement system whereby we would make two initial visits to discuss with businesses the mitigation requirements, document what they're doing right, what they're not in compliance with as well, and then upon a third visit, look to suspend their permit if they are continuing to be out of compliance. So, you know, we work with restaurants and bars all the time and build up relationships. We see them as our partners in food safety, and we're hoping to have them as our partners in fighting this virus as well.
Bart, well, I was looking at some of the numbers this morning for the hospital in Carbondale, Memorial Hospital, 25 in beds there, 3 pending. Christmas, of course, is another one of these items where, especially Governor and ZK this week, was talking about, you know, sorry, take a pass on Christmas this year. These numbers that we've seen across Southern Illinois, the state, did you see any indication of a Thanksgiving surge that would say, yeah, that's Thanksgiving? Have you seen that?
I don't think it fully played out as a surge. Certainly in Jackson County, we had cases associated with Thanksgiving gatherings, and we saw those cases then ripple through a few families. And you know, they're right now at the tail end of that. But I think what we saw in Jackson County anyway was that those numbers helped to maintain our already high caseload numbers. This week we're starting to see a dip in the number of cases, and we're thankful for that, and we'll cross our fingers that that continues. But certainly we do have concern about the upcoming holiday season, which will be longer and have the potential for more gatherings. And so so that does present some concern to us. We would certainly encourage people that if you're getting together over the holidays, that you limit the size of those gatherings, that you try and include some physical distance between people in a setting, that you're wearing a mask, and that the most vulnerable people in the family, unfortunately, should consider staying away.
Question just came in from the American Monument text line this morning asking, Bart, if a healthcare worker has had COVID and recovered, should they still be vaccinated?
The answer from CDC is yes. So the immune response, the antibodies that you might get from having the disease, probably are not as long-lasting as what a vaccine will elicit from your immune response. So vaccines are designed to build longer-lasting protection, and so we would recommend that that they do be vaccinated. They may not be at the front of the line. If that infection has been within the last 90 days, they still have probably a good immune response at this point, but beyond that 90-day mark, yeah, that they should be vaccinated.
You know, it's interesting because we really don't know a lot of stuff, especially long-term effects. I've got somebody just asked a question, what are the long-term effects? We don't know yet of getting or not getting because of the time scales that we're working on. You know, one interesting thing, and you and I talked about this last time we were on the air, about these quarantine regulations at CDC, it altered them, and you've adopted a new period of a 10-day quarantine period, correct?
Right. So the CDC had presented public health agencies with a couple shortened options for quarantine periods One of those involved release at day 8 following a negative test. We saw lots of issues and concerns with that one. We adopted the other option, which CDC presented, which was quarantine through day 10 after exposure, release them on day 11. But that means that is based upon people not having any symptoms during their 10 days, and that they'll still continue to self-monitor through that day 14 that they previously did. So there's a few caveats, and we don't do the shortened quarantines in congregate settings like long-term care or college dorms, things like that. So there are some caveats, but we thought that adopting that would increase overall compliance with the quarantines and hopefully alleviate a little bit of the burden on people that are close contacts of those that are positive.
Bart, before I let you go, we've got about 30 seconds here. What's the question I should have asked you that I haven't done for this morning? You think it's important for people to know from your point of view?
Just that, that there is some excitement around vaccines, that we ask that people be patient because of limited vaccine supply, that CDC and the state are adopting these priority groups. And so we have to work our way methodically through those groups. Right now it is healthcare workers and long-term care residents. The CDC advisory panel will be meeting this week to look at the follow-up priority groups. And so we'll be knowing what those are next week and begin to figure out how we will get vaccine to those groups beyond that. We've got a lot of information on our website, jchdonline.org, if people are interested, and we're happy to undertake this effort.